This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2293. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded May 1st, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, Denmark, Finland, Germany, Grenada, India, Indonesia, Korea North, Madagascar, Myanmar, Netherlands, North America, Portugal, Russia, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Yemen, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Australia non. Ron Howard reports hearing the one-hour segment in English from ABC Australia via Vanuatu, 9960, April 28th at 0448, heard via remote in New Zealand. This was mostly about the recently deceased Catholic Pope and some sports news. It's called Pacific Beat. Australia for Real, the new station on 2355. Ron Howard continues monitoring that via remote in Queensland. And Christopher O'Reilly gives this ID, broadcasting from Kuranda, Queensland, for TRP. This was April 26th from 0802 UT and again at 2019 UT, identifying lots of the non-stop pop songs played with frequent new IDs. And about the other strain on 120 meters, Radio Simbon, we had so much about next week, reported by Ron Howard, that is 2368.4. He has contacted the station again and got a very nice reply from Elena Masukas, along with Tom Samura, a staff member. They say, glad to know you're there and listening to us. Back in 2014, we were broadcasting at 400 watts, whereas now you can hear us at 40 watts. We hope some changes will be made soon so we can get back to that level, and that you'll be able to hear us better once again. You have our deepest appreciation and respect from Angelos and Elena Matsoukas to all the lovers of classic, authentic, and timeless radio, and to our dear friend in California. From the Belga News Agency, 28 April, via Mike Terry. The Flemish government is postponing the planned switch-off of FM radio, abandoning the previously proposed target date of 2031. Amid concerns over economic consequences and the potential exclusion of older listeners, the transition to digital radio will now proceed more gradually, with no new cutoff date set before 2035. The Flemish media minister wants a gradual sector-wide approach to reducing FM frequencies. Not committed to a new deadline, but it should be at 2035 at the earliest. You can tune above 30 MHz. With a proper antenna, you can encounter some very unusual things, my sporadic E, trans-equatorial, or F2 propagation, such as this report in Real DX from Jürgen Bartels in northern Germany. Apparently a feeder for a Brazilian FM station. Could not copy an ID, but they seem to announce 104.9 MHz, but this was heard on 33.285 MHz. Time not clear, but perhaps around 15 UT on April 26th. Radio Canada International is back. Well, not really, but a pirate calling itself that and sounding like RCI. Heard by Tony Pavick in British Columbia on 6925 USB, starting at 0256 UT, April 29th. It seemed to have been inspired by recent political events involving the U.S. and Canada.
I want to say this morning how much I love my country. We don't tend to do that in Canada. We think that's kind of gauche. We don't feel we need to say how much we love our country. But when we see the criminal gang that is taking control in Washington telling us we do not have a right to our nation, well, oh yeah, not only am I going to love my country and its values and the people from one end of this beautiful nation to another, but I'm going to work with those ordinary Canadians to defend our right to continue to exist as an independent nation.
And so it went, alternating with music, more IDs and interval signals and comments, until off at 0344. Cuban jamming and Radio Marti gone from 6030. but you might hear some other noise on that frequency. Ron Howard has an updated schedule of the DRM shortwave test transmissions from CNR1 in China, including 6030 from Beijing, scheduled with 30 kilowatts between 2025 and 1705 UT. That is all but 3 hours a day. And he was hearing it in DRM at 1048 UT via Japan. As for Radio Havana Cuba, here's all we can typically hear. Dead air on 15230 at 1440, April 25th. And the other active frequency, 6000, April 27th at 0206, dead air there, instead of English. However, Chris Campbell in Ohio was also tuning down to 6000 UT May 1st at 0100, with a strong open carrier, good signal, but no audio. He parked on the frequency, and at 0200, they had their top-of-the-hour intro and into decent audio. But after about a minute, the audio dropped low and maybe even intermittent. At 0202, it came up slightly, but was still impossible to understand. Cuba also provides dead air for some of their China relay frequencies still on the air, such as April 27th at 0238, 9580, supposedly in Chinese from CRI. Via Hardcore DX, Stig Hartvig Nielsen updates us on his several short and medium wave stations in Denmark. World Music Radio planning to commence broadcasting on two new frequencies, sometime during June from Vidor, previously used for WMR on 927 kHz, which has been silent for 6 months and will not return, and previously used for Radio 208 on 5970. The new frequencies will be 3965 with 400 watts and 25820 with 100 watts. So from July 1st, WMR will hopefully be on 3965, 5930, 25800, and 25820, all 24/7, and also on 15700 between 05 and 22 UT. But Radio 208, on the other hand, will be closed down in the course of May, the end of 1440, currently 300 watts. 1422 in central Copenhagen has already been switched off. During Easter, Radio 208 on 5970 also went off the air. He says this is the end of Radio 208 and the end of any medium wave broadcasting from Denmark. Now about low-power shortwave stations in Finland via Kari Kallio about Radio Blacksmith Knoll, K-N-O-L-L, from classic music to timeless stories, trivia challenges to scavenger hunts, plenty of surprises this weekend. The schedule is on Friday, May 2nd, test transmissions. On Saturday, May 3rd, at 09 UT, What's Happening Today, the May edition. And on Sunday, May 4th, Freeform Programming. That's on 6120. More at rbsk6120.radio.am. And Kari Kallio reminds us it's time for another monthly broadcast of Scandinavian Weekend Radio from Finland, as they do on the first Saturday of almost every month. 6170, 24 hours. Starting at 21 UT Friday, that's local midnight, and on 11690 for almost that period until 18 UT, but switching to 11720 for the final 3 hours Saturday at 18 to 21. The program is carried by Scandinavian Weekend Radio, is RET World Service. It originally stood for Radio Emma Talk. James Salmon gives details to the British DX Club. That is Saturday, May 3rd at 13 UT on those two frequencies. But this program is also on WRMI on Sundays throughout May, including this Sunday at 23 UT on 9395. And some other times on Channel 292 Germany. Speaking of which, here's the May schedule for Bill Tilford's programs via Channel 292 from the Isle of Music. Two Cuban artists in Scandinavia, Jesse Rojas in Norway and Elia Lasso in Denmark. Friday, May 9th, at 17 UT on 6070 and at 21 on 3955. And Sunday, May 11th, at 17 on 9670. And then exactly 1 week later is Uncle Bill's Melting Pot from Bhutan. Same times and frequencies on May 16th and 18th. Grenada, in the British DX Club, Andrew Braid says, I was very pleased to hear the Harbor Light of the Windwards back on 1400 kHz, the morning of April 27th, IDing as this is the Harbor Light of the Windwards broadcasting from Carriacou. The time is now 11:02. It had quite a strong signal, about 10 minutes later. I've been watching for the return since they lost their tower in Hurricane Beryl on 1 July 2024. No evidence of a carrier until today, but they are back a few hertz above CBC, just where they used to be. A very commendable achievement, he says. They should return to the air after such a significant setback. Well done, Harbor Light. Then Ron Howard tuned in via the remote in Bonaire, April 28th at 0900. Her website shows it's a Christian station originally with 5,000 watts. Mauno Ritla on MW List says, according to a reply from the station, they've managed to raise power from 2 to 5 kilowatts on 25 April and plan to raise to a full 10 kilowatts in the near future. Of course, it's virtually impossible to hear directly in North America due to hundreds of stations on 1400. Always on the lookout for skewed frequencies, Wolfgang Büschel found this from All India Radio, or Akashvani's Tibetan service from the Delhi Kingsway site. May 1st at 0100 to 0230, he tuned in at 0126 on 11734.769. As I may have mentioned last week, I see that's exactly the same offset below 11865 for their other Tibetan service at 1045. Ron Howard reports the Voice of Indonesia using the remote nearby at Bandung on 4755, Sunday, April 27th, in English after 13 UT, with highlight of the week, a soundbite of a speech from the President of Fiji, concerns about Indonesians in the USA receiving due process of law, and Pankaraya also heard parallel on 3325 via the remote. Moises Knoka in Uruguay, who's recently joined the World of Radio Group, asked for help identifying a station he's been hearing on 11560 around 20 UT. Poor reception, peaking around 2015, and fading out. Not appearing in the listings he checked, but Mauno Ritla says it is North Korea Reform Radio, as in the WRTH web app. Site is probably Uzbekistan, or maybe Tajikistan. They have two broadcasts at 14 and at 20 UT, and one other frequency, 7590. Ron Howard reports another clandestine for North Korea, National Unity Radio on 7340 via Taiwan, including an English quotation of the day, April 29th at 1237 to 1240. This one was about Frank Tiger, T-Y-G-E-R, an editorial cartoonist for the Trenton Times in New Jersey. Be a good listener. Your ears will never get you in trouble. Evaluations of the Madagascar relay of BBC at 12 to 14 UT on 21565 from Mike Cooper in Georgia. A good signal but hampered by audio problems for the first 15 minutes, low gain, suddenly became loud, even distorted, as if someone noticed the problem and adjusted the AF gain. Then reception was fine. While the signal doesn't usually come up before 1200, the next day the carrier was on from 1144 with a very good signal, off again and back on after 1151. This is M. Glob, the site which once relayed Radio Netherlands. Stephen Luce in Houston says, M. Glob can be a bit careless about program audio levels, an issue that has gone on for years. Most of the time, audio is adequate, but low levels are not uncommon. I've been trying to figure out whether processing thresholds are incorrectly set, or whether they simply aren't paying sufficient attention to the program feeds. Perhaps too much reliance on automation. Mike Cooper replies, I hear a slight raspiness to BBC audio on 21565. It doesn't sound as clean as it should. More generally, when it comes to audio levels, it seems in many instances there is no human intervention or surveillance online. When listening to VOA streams, program audio levels were very low during long-form news, but newscasts were much louder. Yet this discrepancy was not noticeable on shortwave. I assume there was compression somewhere in the circuit to fix it. There is considerable variation between audio levels of different broadcaster streams on the Internet. There appears to be no standard for a consistent audio level on streams or audio files regardless of format. In the analog days of radio, board operators would ensure levels were consistent at the source. Now the only place loudness seems to be reviewed is at the transmitter site, if someone bothers to check. The lack of a consistent audio level prompts some broadcasters to use compression, which evens out audio levels but then makes soft passages louder. This type of processing adds to listener fatigue. It also has an annoying habit of exaggerating the sound of an announcer taking a breath, creating a sucking sound before a sentence. Via International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 2293, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks for financial support, which may be sent via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. On April 24th, Ron Howard asks, what's happening in Myanmar? From TuneIn at 1905 UT via remote in Thailand, nothing but non-stop easy-listening instrumental music, no announcements. Past 1945 on medium wave 576, best on 5985, and second best on 9730. Perhaps related to this news story of the same date, Myanmar junta continues airstrikes, despite extending its post-quake ceasefire until the end of the month. On April 26th, however, Joe's Jacob in India says, Myanmar's back to normal schedule from 0114 UT on 9730 and 5985. Then on Wednesday, April 30th, Ron Howard reports at 0206 to 0220 via the Thai remote, the usual British English language lesson, very readable. The Democratic Voice of Burma is back on wave, according to their website via Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener, as of April 24th. Following the March 28th earthquake, DVB has been providing critical news coverage of the response, the death toll, the number injured, those still missing, every day. Data team collects the latest info from the six hardest-hit regions of the quake. On April 24th, it launched a daily radio program via shortwave. The website is dvb.no. It's at 01 UT on 9430 and at 1300 on 17500. Via Mike Cooper, The Guardian of April 24th by Michael Savage. The BBC has stepped in to launch a news service in Myanmar after the devastating earthquake, replacing a service effectively shuttered by Donald Trump. A direct-to-home satellite video channel delivering BBC News Burmese content will be launched to cater for what the corporation sees as an urgent audience in need. It will take over a satellite video channel formerly used by Voice of America. VOA's satellite channel ceased broadcast into Myanmar just weeks before the huge 7.7 magnitude earthquake. Its epicenter was about 11 miles from Mandalay. So the BBC has opted to intervene. In coming months, the ThaiCom 6 satellite covering Myanmar will deliver BBC News Burmese TV and audio programming. Independent journalism is extremely challenging in Myanmar. It's ranked 171st out of 180 countries in a Press Freedom Index by Reporters Without Borders. Myanmar journalist Sithu Aung Myint, a VOA contributor, is serving a 12-year sentence on anti-state and false news charges. Via Rustyx, Vladimir Vladimirovich received a letter from Radio Piepzender in the Netherlands. In the near future, we'll test our new frequencies, 5990 and 11840. We're still testing the transmitter, the power of which is about 250 watts, antenna a V-shaped dipole at a height of 20 meters. North America, Tony Pavick in BC reports a pirate called Radio Portland International, 10 watts on 6875.2 AM. Heard April 29th from 0206 to 0216 and back on the air at 0237 until 0254. Tony Pavick also reports a pirate on the unexpected frequency of 12070 USB. April 25th at 0257. It turned out to be Mix Radio International relaying someone else. Heard by Ron Howard after 0325, and even better at 0418. Eric Fetterswalp also had it in Washington via the Utah remote at 0340. The Christ Pirate Station YHWH is normally heard on 7475 around 03 or 04 UTC or later, but Paul Walker in Alaska reports to NASA he had it on 15410, April 30th at 0405. The ex-listeners in Iberia made the boast of the huge blackout on April 28th. In Portugal, Rob DeSantos says, during the day, band scans on AM/FM and shortwave were remarkable without all the usual electrical and electronic devices operating. Background noise levels on the bands were extremely low. African stations and elsewhere in Europe and the Middle East, rarely heard in the daytime, were coming in clearly. Another power outage in the UK, April 25th at 09:15, allowed Nick Rank in Buxton to hear some longwave stations, such as RBU in Russia on 66.66 kHz. But he could not hear JXN in Norway on 16.4 kHz, wondering if they were really on the air. As of May 1st, the shortwave bands are still vacant of Voice of America and Radio Marti. Kerry Lake and USAGM had filed an appeal against the judge's order to put them back in business. This is against the ruling of Judge Royce C. Lambert in U.S. District Court. However, as far as I can tell, from a document via Melvin Eleazar, that appeal was denied. Bill Tilford comments, one of the biggest flies in the ointment is that the Doge Czar owns a social media platform. Those fellows have an almost visceral hatred of radio, generally, because in their minds, it's a distraction from their screens. The conflict of interest element has gone largely unremarked. And an AP story of April 30th via Mike Cooper says, a federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to restore $12 million that Congress appropriated for Radio Free Europe. Judge Royce Lambert granted a TRO for the USAGM to disperse money for April for Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty pending the outcome of a lawsuit seeking to keep the station on the air. The administration could not unilaterally revoke funding approved by Congress. Attorneys for the media outlet warned that more employees would be furloughed and more contracts canceled on May 1st if funding is not restored. By the end of May, RFERL would be forced to cancel contracts supporting its core live news broadcasting and reporting operations. In June, it will almost entirely cease its operations. A spokesman for Radio Free Asia said his organization still had not received its April funding, despite Judge Lambert's order the previous week. That's from the New York Times. Looking at the WRMI schedule, I see a new time for World of Radio. Saturday at 22:30 UT on 15770 and 7730. And I confirmed it this Saturday, but only on 15770. The 9930 transmitter of WTWW was off the air for 2 or 3 days, but by April 26th it was back on the air. George McClintock explained that the insulators were arcing, but he fixed that by applying some Corona goop. Meanwhile, waiting for a replacement part from China to get the other transmitter back on the air, that was hoped to be possible by early May. Check 5085 between midnight and 03 UT, extended to 3:30 on Saturdays for World of Radio. About domestic AM radio in the U.S., this commentary from NRC DX News. The number of anomalies that don't get reported to the FCC, stations off the air for part or all of the day, or operating with less than their licensed facilities, running day power at all hours, off frequency, these continue to multiply even as those stations that do notify the FCC, as they are required to, also grow. We do our best to keep track of all these, but something close to 10% of all licensed AM stations in the U.S. are either silent or operating under special temporary authorities different from their licensed parameters. WWNC 570 in Asheville, North Carolina, has been getting a lot of publicity about what a great job it did following the hurricane damage last year. Most recently in the MIT Technology Review, headlined Why We Still Need AM Radio. But Mike Cooper in Atlanta has a very different reaction. He says WWNC is the only AM station among the top-rated 14 radio stations in the Asheville market. Its audience is dwarfed by FM listenership. In fact, WWNC's post-hurricane coverage was also broadcast on iHeart's six other FM stations in the market. So did AM radio really save the day in this case? On the road these days, outside of major cities, I often can't find any local AM radio stations on the air. Any I do hear are automated. The idea that in severe weather on my car radio I can rely on local AM for info is ludicrous. I might hear a relay of a NOAA weather radio warning if I'm lucky, but chances are minimal. Mandating that car radios include medium wave will not save AM or bring back locally originated informative live programming. It's a lost cause. These days, AM radio and WWNC in particular offers little more than far-right dogma. In National Radio Club DX News, Doug Smith, W9WI, writes under the headline, FCC, delete, delete, delete. It's not been immune to Trump's government shakeup. It opened a docket known as the delete, 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 asking for comments on every rule and regulation people felt the commission should eliminate. 939 comments were filed by the deadline, many of them not addressing broadcasting, but filed by hams, telecom firms also affected. And then he lists the most important proposals and marks the ones which are especially interesting. In the AM service, create a Class 5 for virtual AM stations. An A, B, C, or D station can convert to Class V. AM would leave the air but would be allowed to operate FM translators within the area it served before going virtual. Shortwave eliminate requirement that SWBC stations target only foreign audiences. Reduce minimum powers from 50 to 5 kilowatts for analog, 1 kilowatt for digital, 100 watts for analog on 11 meters. And for stations in general, allow non-commercial stations to sell airtime. And eliminate the station identification rule. He says, note the proposal by public broadcasting interests to eliminate the legal ID. While the DXer in me hates the idea, the broadcaster in me says this should have gone away decades ago. The Radio Vanuatu situation continues to be inconsistent. If we're lucky, it's active on 9960, whether or not WRMI is 5 kHz below. It was missing on April 26th and 27th. Ron Howard immediately notifies the station, and they were back on the air by April 28th. It appears that Ron is first to notify the station of any outages before any one of the 335,169 Vanuatuans. I continue not to hear Yemen via Saudi Arabia on 11935, but it appears to be on the air sporadically only before 1500, as reported by Ron Howard. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued April 28th. ANK indices peaking at 18 and 5 on May 5th and 6th, 25 and 5 on May 18th. Quiet estates of only 5 and 2 are May 12th to 15th. Solar flux rising from 140 May 4th to a peak of 165 May 8th to 10th. Down only to 155 before back up to 160 on May 21st. For much more info, do consult our website, worldofradio.com. With a great many thanks to all our stations and contributors. Hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding. World of Radio 2293 with a standard disclaimer.